Right now, Attorney Johnny McCoy is with us on the Hot Talk Hotline. Mr. McCoy, thanks for spending a little time with us here this morning.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday indeed. How are you?
We're doing great, and thank you for spending a little time with us today. Before we get into yesterday's news conference, I had mentioned earlier in the program that there was a controlled burn scheduled for International Drive in the forest area around that busy roadway scheduled this week. If memory serves me, you recently resolved a case surrounding burns and fires and wildfires in that neck of the woods, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the easier cases I've ever been hired on. She was charged with I think they were like $25 tickets. They tried to make it out to be that she was this huge arson suspect located in Carolina Forest. And, you know, in Horry County, when there's smoke, there's fire. And I kind of knew that she was being a scapegoat, which is common around here. But we were able to get that message out. And, you know, she resolved her case with a little bit of community service. I call it an offer you can't refuse, but yeah, I'm glad. You know, that Carolina Forest case was similar to the press conference we had yesterday because, you know, the young ladies yesterday weren't charged with any crimes, but they were crucified in the media due to that press release, and so my job was less about, you know, proving innocence in court and more about, you know, repairing these people's lives in the media with the first shot being taken by the other side in both cases.
Now you're talking about scapegoats, right? That's sort of the claim from and for the ex-director of public information, right? She is claiming that because she brought some news that might have been on the negative side towards certain people within the county, that she was essentially retaliated against. Is that what the lawsuit is claiming?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, that's what the lawsuit's claiming, what the evidence shows, and what we intend to prove in court. I mean, when you have a young lady who is reporting to not only her supervisor, but to other individuals that she's being sexually harassed by her boss, who's like, I don't even know what Randy Webster was, two, three, four, number four in the county at the worst. And then she goes in and files a formal complaint without talking to a lawyer. You know, she had tried to go up the totem pole to report this guy, and nothing happened. So she went to HR while she was still working for him in the building that was named after him. And they met with her. She gives a 4-page single space report about the text messages she's receiving. Some of them saying, "Do you find me desirable?" By the way, Randy Webster's like 61, 62 years old. And my client is, she's a young female, I think she's in her early 30s. And Randy Webster, it was clear that, you know, he was attracted to her. And, well, he said that. He actually said that you're beautiful and I find you desirable. Do you find me desirable? I have dreams about you. I had a dream about you last night where we were scantily clad, swimming in a creek, and I can't focus at work. So she reports all this. October 16th, October 17th, Randy Webster tells his supervisor, which is Barry Spivey, the county administrator, "I'm retiring." 2 days later, he sends out this email where he wants people to feel sorry for him and says, "It's been a great 37 years or however long it's been. It's taken a toll on my health. I've given all I can to the county. Please give me a standing ovation on my way out." And he retires, and my client is brought in for an internal affairs investigation shortly after Randy Webster retires. She thinks it's about the Randy Webster complaint that she just laid. She sits down in the chair, and HR, I believe, is who it was, immediately says, "Who have you been having sex with in the Horry County Police Department?" and she said in the IA, "What about Randy Webster? Like, can we talk about that?" And they said, no. And they never said, was it who were you sleeping with on the clock? They never said, you know, what commotion were you starting in Horry County Police Department? They literally just wanted to know, carte blanche, who have you been sleeping with in the Horry County Police Department? Hmm. And it was one of these old, you know, back in the day when there was scandals in politics, it was a career ender. Remember those days where, oh, if you cheat on there, this or that? And I think that's the mindset that they still had, was this weird 1930s, like, if we just make her seem like she sleeps with people, you know, at will, then her credibility will be lost. And whenever this complaint emerges, nobody will believe it because she is so, you know, unchaste. Mm. And they were banking on, you know, her signing a forced resignation, which is what it was. This woman was forced to resign. All of them were forced to resign. Chief of police went on WBTW on Monday and said if they didn't resign, we were going to fire them. And I couldn't believe he said that, but anyway, so she's forced to resign. As she's walking out the building, she turns to look over her shoulder and sees the name Randolph W. Webster, Communications Services Building or Emergency Services Building, and realizes that in the state of South Carolina, you're not safe to bring up charges or allegations against people in powerful positions if you are not a member of, you know, this elite clubs of have-haves. Mm.
Talking with Attorney Johnny McCoy, he is representing the former Horry County Police Department investigator and the county's ex-director of public information. They announced a lawsuit naming Horry County, the police department, the police chief, and the former deputy administrator in this suit. Johnny, in your experience, what's the time frame in terms of, you know, as these things get sorted out, when we may even, you know, see a potential jury trial or some sort of recourse on this?
Yeah, you know, I'm a trial lawyer. You know, I'm like my as I like to call him, my father, like my dad, Stuart Axelrod. I'm a trial lawyer, so I live for the trial because the jury is the great regulator, right? I mean, the juries are cafeteria workers and, you know, people from the DMV and teachers, lots of teachers, and, you know, just people who are ordinary everyday citizens. Some of them don't even have social media. I love a jury, but for some reason, you know, they keep settling with us right before we go to trial. The Julian Benton case, we settled, you know, basically 2 or 3 weeks before trial after 5 years of litigation for $8.5 million versus the city of Myrtle Beach. So they may want to drag it out. They may want to let me and Stuart and Tristan Schaefer question these people in depositions. But, you know, I don't know where – I don't know if I'm the attorney for the for Horry County, I'm already feeling like I've got a few shots across the bow with the statements that the chief of police made, that some other individuals are making. And so, you know, the individuals who are going to be deposed in this case and the individuals who are named in our complaint have a real big incentive to come to the table and make a some kind of reasonable effort to put the damages behind these ladies and put confidence back in the citizens of Horry County that, you know, they're doing things right, and they are unrolling and unraveling some serious, I'll call them allegations that have been levied against powerful people around Horry County.
Hey, we're talking again with Johnny McCoy of Axelrod & Associates, representing the two of the five Horry County government employees, police officers, and the former public information officer in this lawsuit that they filed yesterday, announcing it during a news conference Thursday afternoon. Now, in terms of internal investigations and what turns up from those sorts of things, how often is that information often made available to the public, say, through a Freedom of Information request?
Well, what's interesting is there was FOIA requests laid the moment that Randy resigned. That was the only thing everybody knew about, was this guy's resigning after 37 years abruptly. And so there was FOIA requests laid, not by my office, but by several reporters who have made that public. I think this was around October 20th. They paid the deposits. They did all the things you're supposed to do. And instead of the county swiftly responding to these FOIAs, they met with my client on November 3rd. They fired her on November 6th. And they, or effectively fired her on November 6th. And they issued a press release with the cover sheet of the internal affairs investigation on the next day after these girls were fired at 6 p.m. So if it was up to Horry County, they'd be releasing information that they wanted to, when they want to, whether or not it is against precedent for their, for their entire communication system that they have in place, and then leave these other FOIAs out there that actually have meat to them to be fought over and delayed and delayed and delayed. So I don't know, man. I hope you guys get your FOIAs answered. We've got nothing to hide on our side. We're anxious for the truth to continue to come out. That's why we held a press conference, because, you know, the damage that has been done to these two young women, well, to all of the officers, really, but I'll speak on my clients for now, is beyond what you can imagine that takes place in what would be considered, quote unquote, physical injuries. These women can't work. We know that they're not going to be rehired as police officers. The blue wall doesn't like whistleblowers. The blue wall doesn't like it when somebody's going up the chain of command and reporting nefarious activity by another officer, even if it's a deputy administrator like Randy Webster was. And not only that, but they went after their personal lives. You know, Michaela's married. Her and her husband have a happy marriage. And, you know, the other, my other client, Kelsey, has three young children. And she's already filed for divorce in March. While all this was going on, you know, she's separated from her husband. But they want to attack these individuals on a personal and professional level. So I hope that more information comes out swiftly so that the damages against these women can be contained. But in my 17-year career, 16 of those years I've been doing civil rights work against corrupt government officials and trying to hold people accountable, I have yet to see, yet, in the state of South Carolina, for there to be swift justice in the face of complete and obvious appalling behavior by government officials. They never step up and do the right thing quickly. Never.
Well, Johnny, there's no question that this is a story that there will be eyes on until its conclusion. So we appreciate and thank you for spending a little time with us today, kind of laying out the case on behalf of the two clients that you're looking to be made whole in your eyes, as you explained here to us over the last few minutes. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Happy Friday. Y'all have a good weekend.
Yeah, it's Johnny McCoy of Axelrod & Associates. Has been retained by two former Horry County government employees based on the news that broke last Friday and all the information that has followed. Of course, we caught up with Charles Perry yesterday, who has a lengthy article pertaining to some of the accusations and claims associated and involving the former deputy assistant administrator within county government.